that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call upon him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. May God richly bless his word to us this morning. Please be seated. Am I right with God? Does God accept me? The Apostle Paul has a lot to say about this all-important question. And we will meditate upon it together this morning. As we consider it, I remember my father, who was a professional house painter. He spent his life painting houses, among other things, and some of the summers I would work with him, and he would, I know it was a lot of effort for us to set up this situation here this morning, but my father used to put in a lot of effort carrying around an enormous ladder, and I wonder, you know, why he was doing that. He had a 40-foot ladder made out of solid wood. I don't know if you know what that's like, but that thing is enormous and it's heavy. And he would carry it by himself and move it around the house freely like this. You know, and he's carrying it from place to place. And I said, you know, why don't you use an aluminum ladder? And he said, well, you know, those aluminum ladders, you really can't trust them. He says, you're out here painting on a windy day and, you know, it could well blow over on you. You know, this is a good solid ladder. And he said, I want something I can depend upon, especially as I'm climbing way up there and I'm up at the tip top of somebody's house. I want to, you know, make sure I've got myself on good, solid footing as I move from rung to rung and I get up, try to get way up to the top of the house doing my work. Well, reaching heaven is quite a challenge for us to do. And if you are, or I am trying to reach up to heaven based upon our performance, it's like trying to climb up into heaven using a ladder of sand. Our best efforts can only make ladders of sand. And we need something more than that. In verse 5, he says, Moses describes in this way the righteousness that is by the law. The man who does these things will live by them. That is, if you can keep the laws of God, God will let you live. He'll let you climb up into heaven. If you can keep the first rung, the second, and so forth and so on. And if you can really keep his laws, then you can get up into heaven and God will let you live there. But James chapter 2:10 says, whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking it off. To paraphrase, if you can keep God's laws, every one of them, all the time, every day, each day, then you have built a nice ladder that can help you climb up into heaven. But as the old saying says, you know, you can please some of the people, some of the time. You can please all the people some of the time, but you can't please all the people all the time. And so it is with the law of God. You can keep some of the law some of the time. You can keep all the law some of the time, but you can't keep all the law all the time. And that's our dilemma, that we really can't keep it all. And Jesus said, be ye perfect. And unfortunately, some people need the grace of God to understand that God requires perfection if we're going to have a ladder that's going to reach up into heaven. And there's another way we might want to look at this as we consider, am I good enough before God? Am I right enough, righteous enough? We might want to remember that important Bible verse that stuck in some of the communicants class members. I teach it once a year about a number of young people, and there are certain things that stick in their mind. And one of the things that stick in a number of kids' minds is this verse from Isaiah 64:6. I don't think I taught it to this class, but it's been in the other classes, which says, all of our righteous acts are like filthy rags. All of our righteous acts are like filthy rags before God. I didn't say that. The prophet Isaiah said it. It's in the Bible. And imagine, if I may put it in terms of an illustration, imagine God is coming to your house for breakfast tomorrow morning. He's coming. You're going to get ready for God. And so you're going to fix some bacon and eggs. Now it's like he's coming at 8. It's 7:30. You got the bacon on. You're getting the dozen eggs out. You and your family are going to sit there and eat with him. So you got a dozen eggs. You're cracking open the eggs, putting them in the pan. And you get most of them in there. And then you kind of rushing around. You crack two more. You know, you're good at it. You crack them with each hand. You crack them. Least you go in, you notice that these don't look good. These eggs don't smell good. These two eggs mixed in with the other 10 are rotten. Rotten eggs. And a foul odor to them. And you're thinking to yourself, you know, man, he's coming. You know, he'll be here within a half hour. What am I going to do? So you just say, I tell you what. It's just stirred up real good. Okay? We're going to whip those two in with the other 10, and we're going to hope God doesn't notice. Folks, God will notice.
Anyone
will notice. Your family members will notice. Hebrews 4:13 says, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before Him, before the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. A life that is even a tiny bit smelly before God is unacceptable and cannot be served up to God and expect Him to honor it, to receive it. Then how can we gain acceptance from God? If our life offering is not good enough, if our best efforts are not good enough, and by the way, God wants you to perform your best. You know that? He wants you to perform right acts, righteous acts. He wants you to do the good things. He wants each and every one of you, and me included, to excel and to strive for excellence. Jesus said, be perfect. But as you strive, you must understand that you'll never obtain excellence in perfection form. And you can never expect that your excellence will satisfy God's requirement. You can't meet up to God's expectations. No one can. And that's where we have to understand that righteousness comes to us from God. How can we climb to heaven if we can't climb through our best efforts? We have to understand that what we need comes down to us, that God gives us the requirements that we need. Righteousness comes to us from God Himself. Look at it in verse 3. This is what many of the Israelite people didn't understand. They did not know that righteousness, or if you will, the right qualifications, that comes from God. Righteousness comes from God. The moral beauty you need, the integrity you need, the requirements you need, comes to us from God as a gift. See, what God requires of you, God supplies. What He asks of you, He Himself gives you. To experience God's salvation, we need to reject self-help. That's the first major point of this message. Reject self-help. There's a lot of self-help books, aren't there? But self-help, and I'm not saying you shouldn't do self-help, but self-help will do nothing to make a ladder that will reach up to heaven. So reject self-help, and what we need to is to receive God's help. We need to receive God's help in Christ, which means basically relying upon God's help. That's what He wants you to do. You're going to be worthy enough, you're going to be acceptable enough, upright enough, then reject trying to help yourself become right enough and accept God's help by relying upon Christ. In Hebrews, we see one of the reasons why we need to rely upon God's help in Christ. One of them in Hebrews 4:16 says that He was tempted in every way, yet without sin. He was tempted just as we are, yet He was without sin. Remember whenever Jesus was on earth, what did God say when He spoke? He said, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." You see, Christ has the moral qualifications that you need. And God brings us the moral qualifications we need in Christ. We need to rely upon God's help is because Christ has the moral qualifications, and moreover, God sent Christ. That's why we ought to rely upon Him. But Jesus, a lot of people don't understand that He is a godsend. God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. God gave us His Son. John 6:38. Jesus said, "I have come down from heaven not to do My will, but to do the will of Him who sent Me." Christ had been sent from God Himself. If you want to get to God, well then pay attention to the one whom God had sent. Why do we need to rely upon God's help and not our self-help? Because God's help, as I said, fulfills the expectations of God for you and me. Look at verse 4. Christ is the end of the law. He is the fulfillment of the law, that is, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Why did God send Jesus? So He could fulfill the law, meet up to the expectations that God has of you, and so that you can have His righteousness credited to your account. That is, to put it another way, Christ qualifies us for God's salvation. John 6:39, listen, He says, "This is the will of Him who sent Me." This is Christ speaking. "This is the will of Him who sent Me. You want to know God's will? That I shall lose none of all that He has given Me, but I will raise them up on the last day. For My Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him shall have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day." You see, it is Christ, it's not zeal, is the secret to becoming right with God, to being right with God. It has nothing to do with your zeal. It has everything to do with Christ. Look in verse 2, where He says, "I can testify about Israel that they were zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge." Paul was zealous, wasn't he, for God? But his knowledge was lacking. He was trying to approach God with the wrong ladder, using his zeal instead of using the zeal provided for us in Christ. Well, if Christ is a secret, if Jesus is the secret to God's salvation, if He's a secret to God's blessing for you and me, then how can we get Christ? How can we get Him next to us? Which is what Paul talks about here. He talks about drawing upon Christ. He says that those who rely upon Christ draw strength not by going to get Jesus, but by taking hold of the message of Christ. Taking hold of the message of Christ. And look at verses 6 through 7, if you would, 6 and 7 and 8. He says, "The righteousness that is by faith says what? Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you." You see, verse 8 really explains the difficult verses in 6 and 7. What he's saying is that if you can't get salvation by yourself, if you can't become good enough by trying to obey the laws, and if it's Jesus who sent us the goodness that we need, then I better go get Jesus. Maybe I should go up to heaven and get him, or kind of bring him down up from the death. He says, no, look, Jesus is already here, and he's in the message. You understand? That's what the point here is in verse 8. He says that those who rely on Jesus believe that Jesus is right here in his Word. The Word is near you. The Word that you're looking for, what you need, is in this Word that's coming out of this preacher's mouth this morning. And hopefully it's in your mouth. Hopefully what you need is in your heart. And that is the message of Christ, his coming to earth, his death and his resurrection for our sin. Salvation's blessings are right here, as close as the person next to you, for those who believe. The question is now, what do you believe about Jesus? When you think about Jesus, if he has what you need, if he is the God sent, what is it that you believe about him? What do you understand? What are you relying upon concerning him? Well, those who rely upon Christ and believe in him, verse 9, look, you at least believe this, and this was the early confession of the church. There's a lot of confessions written. Our own denomination has the longest one I ever heard of, Westminster Confession. The shortest one in the early church was simply three words, Jesus is Lord. Basically, Jesus is God. He's the Lord of the universe, the Lord of the cosmos. If you don't believe that, folks, you got the wrong Jesus. You don't have the Jesus of the Bible. In order to become upright, to be the kind of acceptable person God wants you to be, to win his favor, then you've got to minimally believe that Jesus is God in the flesh. He's Lord. He's your master. Lord of your life. He's in charge of everything. Right now, this morning, he's in charge of everything. Whether he releases the rain or whether he holds it back, believe that he's in control of life. Moreover, he wants you to be willing to confess it with your mouth. He doesn't want secret disciples. Look at verse 9. He says, if you confess with your mouth, are you willing to confess openly before people? You know, Jesus said in Matthew 10, whoever acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown before my Father in heaven. And so we have to have the courage, the kind of faith that's willing to, doesn't mean we're never cowards, but we repent of our cowardice and our yellow streak in our back, and we are not afraid to say, hey, you know, I know the Lord of the universe. And you're not bragging. It's just like you've been touched by his goodness, and you're not afraid to speak of him openly. And you believe, moreover, in verse 9, that God raised Jesus from the dead. You believe in the resurrection, which was basically the only message, for the most part, that the early church preached. Hey, you know, there's a guy who conquered death. I know him, and he says I can conquer it too. When you rely upon Jesus, you believe in a risen Lord. And moreover, you believe there's room in God's heart to accept you. And that's where I think a lot of us have a hard time getting over. You think, and I think sometimes, that we aren't good enough. Even as professing Christians, we wake up and we feel like, are we done something wrong? And we think that there's no room in God's heart for me today. Folks, I don't care how twisted your life is or was, there's room in the heart of God for you this morning. And that's what he says in these verses. In verse 11 and following, he says, as the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. There's no difference between Jew or Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call upon him. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. God will declare you righteous. He will accept you into his kingdom. He will forgive you and embrace you. You know, we simply need to realize that Jesus has open arms. As lousy as we may feel about ourselves, that has to do with nothing except unbelief. You see, God calls you to not rely upon your lousiness, but rely upon his goodness and how much he wants to embrace you. So he invites you. And I'd like to close with this illustration, or this little story I stumbled across. When President James Madison was elected president, he was being newly installed, they had rebuilt his executive mansion. And he invited everybody. Doesn't make any difference who you were, what class of society you came from, whether you're rich or poor, free or ugly or whatever, you knew him or not. He says, come on over to the mansion. I want you to come to the mansion. And there was a little story that was written a few hundred years back that captured the kind of people that accepted the president's invitation, Monroe's invitation. An old newspaper describes how the different people responded to Monroe's invite. And it says this, anyone came with their wives or their gawky offspring. Some came in boots, others in shoes. Many came wearing spurs. Some came with stiff pasteboard shirt collars, half hidden underneath the dirt of their collars. Some came chewing tobacco, others with gnawing on snuff. Some came with powdered heads, others with their hair dirty and frizzled. Some heads looked like they'd never been touched by a comb. The point was the president invited them, all of them, in a matter of their size or shape or condition, and people from all walks of life were coming to the mansion. Well, there's a great song which is going to wrap up the message and response to God, God's Word. Great song written about 250 years ago. We're going to sing it. You can see the words right in there in your bulletin. Come ye sinners, poor and needy. That's me. Weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, love, and power. Come ye thirsty. Come and welcome God's free bounty, glorified. True belief and true repentance, every grace that brings you nigh and near. Then he says, let not conscience make you linger, nor fitness fondly dream. All the fitness he requires is that you feel your need of him. Come ye weary, heavy laden, or heavy burdened, lost and ruined by the fall. If you tarry, if you wait till you're better, you will never come at all. Folks, if you're going to wait till you get better, if you get it all together before you come to God, you'll never get there because it's not going to happen. Just come like you are. You've never been in a better condition than you are today, and that's an undeserving sinner. And God says, come, just like you are. He stands open-armed in Christ, willing to embrace you today and bless you for those of you who will believe it. So I close with a question. Will you reject trying to help yourself? Will you reject self-help? And will you rely upon God's help in Christ? Because God's help in Christ is all that you need. May God bless you according to your faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, we bow before you. We pray you would help us to step away from self-help to Christ's help. Because we know that's the secret of experiencing your salvation. Teach us to step away from trying to help ourselves and look to the help of Christ, which is the secret of your blessing. Honor your word, we pray, for Christ's sake and for our benefit. Amen. Yeah.